Now, it's time to get this week's edition of the James Whale Radio Show in the can and ready to rock and roll. So should we just play those titles? Thank you very much indeed. A warm welcome to the programme. James Whale here, of course, with Robbo, our producer.
Hello.
In charge. Are you there, are you?
I am here, yes.
Okay, very good. Now, here we are. How many programmes have we done now? This seems to be quite a lot.
This is show 69.
69. Ah, yes. A very favourite number for a lot of people, 69. It's just before 70, isn't it? Probably why.
It's a small ice cream, I think.
A small ice cream, yes. You're absolutely right. That's a 99. Oh, a smaller one than that. Yeah. Okay. Right, we've got Mr. Pothole coming on the programme a little later on.
Who?
And Mr. Pothole. He's a man, if you've got a pothole in your roads, and apparently Britain's roads are some of the worst for potholes in Europe, believe it or not, and if you damage your car, as quite a lot of people do, strange enough, that damage their cars through the potholes, then Mr. Pothole is the man to seek advice from.
Ooh.
So we will, a little bit later on. Just hang on, I'm just going to adjust. Hold on. Is that making funny noise for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, I'm just adjusting my headphones so I can get the benefit of your voice directly into my head.
That's nice.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. It's okay. Yeah, no, I can hear you well. So we'll talk to him a little bit later on the programme. But you know, I don't know that the world's got any better since we last spoke, has it? Really?
It's still the same to me.
Yeah, yeah. We spoke about what happened in France, the tragedy in France, and of course, since then, the magazine that nobody much read, about 60,000 copies were printed. Sometimes they didn't sell more than 30,000. This year, of course, 3 million of Charlie Hebdo have gone on sale. Have you seen the front page of it, Rob, or not?
No, isn't it no one's publishing it?
No, well, nobody in this country seems to be publishing it, except, I have to say, the Times did earlier in the week. The Times published it on page 5. In fact, I think if you go and look at some of my little videos I do, there is one of me actually covering the picture with my hand when I was working for another organisation, who didn't particularly want to show the picture. I don't think anybody on Sky has held the picture up. I'm doing Sky on Sunday. Now, it depends when you're listening to this programme. So what's the date today? I've forgotten.
Around the 14th, something like that.
Mm. Is it the 15th?
It's 15th, yeah.
So on the 18th, that's a Sunday, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yep. I think I'm doing Sky News on Sunday morning. Whether or not this will still be a discussion, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But it's been interesting to hear some of the people talking about this on various programmes. Some people, you know, not particularly religiously inclined, have said they couldn't see why this magazine wanted to do it. What they've done is, on the front page of the magazine is a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad. Well, that in itself is offensive to some Muslims because they don't like Muhammad ever being looked at. I'm not sure how you know that this is the Prophet Muhammad, but anyway, there's this character that is supposedly the Prophet, with a tear running down his face, with the words, "I am sorry," and he's holding a sign saying, "Je suis Charlie." And that has upset a few people. If you look inside this magazine, then there are offensive cartoons to Christians and Jews and politicians. So everybody is offended by satire at some particular time. People who are the victims of satire don't like it. And the rest of us who aren't victims at the time find it hilarious. And a question I would have put out, but which I didn't, which just occurred to me, And okay, listen, when I think about it, if you remember The Life of Brian, the Python movie, that caused an enormous outcry and quite a bit of violence as well by irate Christians. And then, of course, more recently, Jerry Springer, the opera which portrayed Jesus Christ naked except for a nappy, but being played by a large, overweight man. That caused quite a lot of controversy too. But, you know, why don't people who are religious just ignore these things? Why would you get upset about it? Just don't read it. Don't look at it. I mean, people say, you can't believe this. I know you'll find this difficult to believe, Robbo, but some people say horrible things about me every day.
No.
Yeah, no, it's true. Some people say hurtful and horrible things about me every day.
Do you want me to go around and sort them all out?
No. It doesn't matter, you see. It just makes me smile. As long as they're thinking about me, that's fine. I mean, I remember when I'd come out of hospital after I'd been treated for cancer and doing a programme, some bloke rang up and said, "Oh, damn National Elf, I wish you'd died," or something along those lines. And I thought it was very funny. People in the studio at the time got really upset. They wanted to report this the moron to the police. I said, the police got more important things to do than worry about him. Let it go. And so, if offending your religion is as appalling as you say, and if there is anything within your religion, then these people who have offended it will suffer in the life after this, if in fact there is one. Will they not?
Definitely.
So, I suggest to anybody who is offended by anything like this, turn the other cheek. Isn't that something they say in one of the religions?
Yes.
Turn the other cheek, yeah. And it's always interesting as well how people who've never gone to a synagogue, a mosque, or a church in their lives suddenly become very irate and upset about what they think is their religion being insulted. I just think live and let live, for goodness sake. You know, stop getting worried about people's sexuality. Let women be members of your religion. Just stop getting yourselves upset. So we did talk about this on our Facebook page, and I did ask the question, how far do you think freedom of speech should go? The French have really got behind this, and they have a different outlook. They have a state that is separated from religion. They have a constitution. We in this country, of course, let's remind ourselves, as I was by one of my callers to my breakfast show, that we have no written constitution and we are subjects of the crown, not citizens in our own country. I mean, okay, it doesn't mean much to anybody, but there is a difference, I suppose. And the church still has a say in affairs in the House of Lords. Bishops, unelected by anybody, can make decisions about us, and perhaps in the future, separating church from state would be a good idea. We still have laws of blasphemy in this country, which are fairly archaic. And if you were to take the mick out of somebody's religion, you could find yourself in quite deep trouble. So there we are. How far should freedom of speech go? Obviously, it has to be contained within the laws of the land. Louise, good afternoon, good morning, good night, whenever you're listening, Louise. Louise says, respect to them for not letting these scumbag terrorists win. That's to the those people who brought out the latest edition of the satirical magazine. Eleanor, excuse me, says, it's definitely not causing an offence to me. The cartoon resembles nobody, dead or alive, that I can see. And how can they name the cartoon Mohammed? Because nobody knows what Mohammed looks like. The current photo looks more like a chef, a baker or a butcher, or the bloke on the bus the other day. Interesting point. James Powers says, there are no halfway houses with freedom of speech. James, you are either free to speak or you are regulated and censored. The problem lies when media such as Charlie Hebdo take the law to its absolute limits. Rather than imposing their own moral restrictions on what they consider to be over-inflammatory. It's a good point, James, but, you know, should anybody get upset about something that somebody actually writes about them or a cartoon they draw? And you can go back to the sort of sticks and stones cliche, if you like. Does it really, you know, unless somebody says, James, you are a thief, you've been committing fraud, you know, suddenly libels you and says you've been doing something that is you know, but other than things like that, do we really get upset? I don't know. Alan Bailey says, as far as it takes, if anything is sacred, it should be free speech. And Brian says, this will give all Muslims a bad name in the eyes of some people. I know a lot of Muslims, and in all fairness, all are against terrorist acts like this. I think they are, and I think, you know, it's probably wrong to keep calling them Islamist extremists. They're just extremists who are using a particular religion. You go through time. You remember in the early days of Israel, when Israel as a new state was founded, there was an enormous amount of terrorism, more than, you know, going on there. From the Israelis to the Brits, there were a lot of problems back in the early days there. Of course, we've seen what's been happening since then, of course, as well. Christian extremists. So at the moment, it is the turn of the Muslim religion. During the Troubles in Northern Ireland, it was all sorts of stuff going on there. David says, where are the majority of peaceful Muslims saying not in my name or I am Charlie? Well, a lot of them have, and why should they have to? Why should they have to justify themselves, David, to be quite honest with you? Why should the same way, why, you know, would you expect Christians to get up and say, look, I think I can't remember which country it was where a number of Christians got up and massacred not long ago a whole lot of non-believers. Should all Christians be apologising for that? Should Catholics be apologising continually for the troubles in Northern Ireland? Or for the should we be getting continual apologies from everybody who purports to be a Christian, whether Catholic or Protestant or whatever, for all the sex abuse scandals? I don't know that's a point. There are lots of people who are brought up in a religious culture. I was brought up in a religious culture because I didn't know any different. In those days, I went to the local village school, which was a Church of England school. And until I was old enough to really think about it, I just assumed that everything I was being told about this religion was historically true. Well, you know, and everything in the Bible was a fact. Adam and Eve was a fact. Well, it might be. I don't know. I choose not to believe it, but it might be. Now, what else have we got here? Interesting that nobody, and I know we have quite a lot of Muslim listeners, has actually contributed to this, judging by the names. Julie says, I think it's about time religion had an update. It's all based on history and only from the time each religion was founded. It's full of dictators. It's a brainwashing process. From the day we're born, someone influences us. We're not born with these faults. They are fed into us from parents, education, and social station. And Julie thinks it all stinks. And let's have one more. Charles says, a religion of peace. Or did I read that wrongly? This whole thing is a bastardization of warped ideology by those still living in the dark ages. So I think this will continue to be a debate for some time to come. You know, everybody should be free to believe what they want to believe without interference. And gosh, wonder, wouldn't it be great one day if we could just do that? Wouldn't it be great if we could do that and stop trying to influence other people? You know, some religions have this thing that they have to try and get converts. They just have to try and get you. I've had some marvellous, and I enjoy it, some marvellous discussions with people who think I should go to church and I should become more. I say, I don't feel it. If I felt it, I would. I'd love to feel like some religious people I know. Some I have met, some who are so convinced of what they're here to do and what will happen when they pass on from this world. And they're going to be sitting there next to the people they really want to meet, their saviours. And that's great. And if it's all true and that's how it works out for them, brilliant. But I haven't got it yet. So maybe one day, who knows? You've been very quiet while I've been babbling on. I mean, is there anything you could have you could have said or not?
Just live your life.
No, oh, really? Just live your life.
That's it.
Just live your life.
At the end, just ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, and you'll probably be told to piss off. But anyway, there we are. Right. So I had a as somebody keeps saying, are we sponsored by Ford? Well, we are to a certain extent, yes, and we make no bones. This is a commercial program. We have to try and make money. We are more sponsored though by the adverts, of course. If you go out and buy a Ford car, I don't necessarily get any money out of it.
No,
but they do supply me with cars to drive from time to time, and I drove the new Mondeo, right?
Ooh.
Yesterday, which has just been released, just in the shops. I have to tell you. And OK, this is a commercial presentation. That's how you do it. So I may be biased, but it really very smooth. All I'm saying is go and try it. Go and try it. One of the things Fords are so concerned about at the moment is that their name. People say Ford, oh, that's just a bit bog standard, isn't it? You know, I want something better. I want something like a Mercedes or a Maserati or a BM or something like that. If you're one of those people who drives a lot for a living, and if you're a chauffeur, you might like to check out top-of-the-range new Mondeo. It is a very, very smart car, bursting with technology, very smart. Go and check it out. I think it'll be a huge winner for Ford. There are all kinds of versions of it. The only thing I think about modern cars, and I tell you, is that they've got so much stuff now. They've got touchscreen computers. And this isn't just in the top of the range. The most of them now, they have touchscreen computers. And this new Mondeo's got a little... It doesn't have a handbrake, really. It has a little thing you flip with your finger.
Right.
You know, just a little thing. You just flip it with your finger and that puts a brake on.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
Well, no, I don't know. I mean, just... particularly Mrs. W loves to crank the handbrake on and hear it go... Wah!
While going round a corner?
No, don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous. But I was improved. I was impressed with it. It was a really nice car. Very nice car. We you never know. We might get paid fortunes from them on one day. We do make a little bit of money if you sign up for Audible.
Mm.
And you might well have seen Audible on the television. And if you want to help keep this program on the air. We don't make much out of this, I have to add, just in case anybody is listening from the revenue, but, you know, you can look through any time you want.
Yeah, we don't make anything at all.
Rob keeps the books. Well, we haven't made anything yet, but...
No, nothing.
We've made enough to keep it going on the air.
Yeah, this is a basically non-profit organisation.
Do you think we could register? No, we better not, no. So anyway, Audible, you go and follow the links on the ad that on... Our it's on the front page of our website, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of scrolls backwards and forwards a bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
And many of you may well be listening to the program via all kinds of ways on a radio station. Or also, go and check out the website, which is jameswhaleradio.co.uk. There's some fun bits on there. Some of the old TV shows on there, aren't
there? There's lots of good things on there, yes.
Yeah, go and have a look. We have a shop as well on there. But Audible, if you download any audio book you want, you can get it for free. Okay, so just go and have a look. And the same with Love Film. You can get a month free of films if you you take advantage of that special offer on there as well. And there are other things that we're advertising, are there not?
Yes, Musicola.
Yeah. You want to advertise, get in touch with Rob, jameswhale@gmail.com, and he will tell you how to do it. Now, shall we have some music?
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing was, Talent GB, of course, who put this program out, have actually said that they would be very happy to furnish us with some more acts. And if you would like to be on the program, go to talentgb.com, and they will... give you a hand, tell you how you can do it. Now, this is Bob D with Petro. Do you know anything about Bob D with Petro?
Not until this morning, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and this is a track that's called Lips That Heal.
When I'm alone, pick up the phone just to hear you say, I'm on my way as we break away to the other side. We'll try to hide a dirty secret side. I'll let you run away with my heart.
band Lips That Heal. If you want to hear more of them, it's available on iTunes as well. I noticed the other day, Robbo, we got 1,000 listens on Audio Boom, which used to be Audio Boo. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it's like a YouTube service for audio.
Yeah. Well, we quite often get 1,000 listeners, so they send us a little note.
Every time we get 1,000, they send us a note, yes.
Could they not send us a cheque?
Well, we could ask.
Right. Now, it's National Pothole Day on Thursday this week. It may have passed.
That's today.
When you're listening to this. Oh, we're recording it today, aren't we?
Yes.
It's National Pothole Day today. Chris Birch, and we put this out on Facebook, says, how do you celebrate a hole in the road that could wreck your car? Exactly. Right, let's get Mr. Pothole on here and ask him some of these questions and see what he thinks. So let's take a commercial break, come back, and we'll talk to the man himself.
Okay.
Would you like a free audiobook? Our friends at Audible are giving everybody a free audiobook just by going to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk. All you need to do is click on the Audible link, register, and you'll get your free audiobook. It's a bit like a book club, and remember, you can leave at any time and you still get to keep your free audiobook. So what are you waiting for? Just head over to the James Whale Radio Show website, jamesweleradio.co.uk, and click on that Audible link now.
Now, Mr. Pothole, that's not your real name, is it?
No, it's Mark Morrell, but everybody knows me as Mr. Pothole, and it's a badge that I'm willing to wear it, as long as someone fits the roads.
Why have you become, Mark, or Mr. Pothole, so obsessed with this?
Yeah, I suppose I'm obsessed with other people because I hate injustice, and I think that the British public have been taken for mugs for long enough by governments. We pull in billions of pounds in revenue from road users and spend very little on our roads. We see our roads deteriorating. What really kicked me off was a dangerous pothole where if I didn't do something about it after reporting to the council, I thought someone was going to be injured or killed, and I'm not one to actually just whinge and moan. So I contacted the police, and surprise, within 2 hours it was repaired. But I thought, I'm not prepared to put up with this, and started a local campaign. Everybody's got behind it, and the support's grown and grown, and I've got involved across the media because I'm a bit of a sod for detail. I've read all of the back papers about what they're trying to do. They're all looking for the holy grail that isn't out there. It needs proper funding.
Now, are our roads any worse than other European countries? Obviously, there are a lot worse roads than the ones we have, but our near neighbours, Germany, France, what are their roads like compared to ours?
Far better. We're about 30th or 34th in the world in terms of our road qualities, and we're, you know, in a G8 country. Obviously, a lot of people tell me about French roads and maintenance. And Portugal and Spain have got better roads in certain cases than us, and you know, they're getting subsidies from the EU, and we're paying for those. And so the taxpayer in the UK is actually funding for better roads in other countries. A lot of motorbike people won't actually use our roads because they're frightened about the danger, but they're quite happy to get off the ferry and go through France and Spain and Portugal. I mean, that's a nonsense, really. I mean, the whole thing.
Why can't we get funding from the EU? I bet we get funding from the EU for our potholes, and I bet the government spend it somewhere else.
Well, I think the government spending, their priorities are totally wrong. I mean, they need to invest. I mean, I've looked at all the sort of investment that they've done over a period of time, and you can just see a massive deterioration and backlog growing, and hence we see the situation of our roads. Last year, it got worse by three times. I mean, it's been getting worse by an average £500 million a year since the year 2000, and last year it was £1.5 billion. So the extra money that they talk about that government says over the next parliament, we will still end up with a 15, possibly £20 billion deficit. Our roads are falling to pieces. I've done driving this morning, you know, and not only the local roads, which are really getting neglected, even our strategic roads, you know, motorways and the A roads. So we're all seeing it. It's got worse and worse and worse, and hence the figures show the deterioration. It's a tipping point. If we don't invest now properly, and I keep so fed up with this thing about there's no money around, the government are going to spend, at the end of it, over £100 billion on HS2, yet our roads are falling to pieces. Our railways, current railways need massive investment. Flood defences need doing it. If they centrally funded roads and took the pressure off the local councils, they could use that budget for social care, and then they could unblock some of the bedrock in the NHS. I mean, it's quite common sense. When you say that to a normal person, they agree with it. I mean, common sense seems to stop at government sometimes.
All right, listen, Mark, let me put a couple of questions to you. I put it out on Facebook for the programme yesterday. I was going to talk to you. Louise Scott got in touch, and Louise says, I put a claim in to Surrey County Council in February last year. That's a year on. They've still not replied to me. Potholes are horrendous. Only way they repair them is if we have a cycle race coming through Dorking in Surrey. She's talking about the Olympics, I think. So what happens? What recourse do you have if you go into a pothole and you get injured or you damage your car?
Well, you do have. In actual fact, that's a nice lead-in because there is a link on my webpage, mrpothole.co.uk, that links through to streetrepairs.co.uk. They've got some excellent advice about what you can do in that process, and also even to do a freedom of information request. It's very powerful because I've helped a number of people use that successfully where councils were ignoring them. So I'd advise anybody to use that. The first thing is also in reporting it, and I looked at all the council systems that are across the country, and some of them are appalling. I mean, we're in a modern world with mobile technology and smartphones, and I got involved with Colin Mahoney, who's privately backed that streetrepairs.co.uk, which is a national system that's also got apps, giving advice about claims. It's so transparent in pictures. I mean, I used an example this morning when I did another interview and showed them a report in Birmingham where there's blocks missing on the central part of a raised part of a crossing where the white lines are all worn out. It was photo stamped by Google back in 2014. No repair's been done. Someone reported it using that system. And if you do Street View, you can see the blocks missing out there. Now, that's a danger because pedestrians are going to cross at a crossing. So not even carriageway depths are applied. There's as much shallow depth in a footpath. I mean, you know, to be in that situation where, you know, it could be a blind person, a disabled person have an accident, that's what really makes my blood boil.
So, if you have an accident, are the local authority going to be culpable? If you get in touch with them, like Louise has in Surrey, do they? And they haven't replied to her. I get on again, Louise, and I'd start saying, you know, you're going to be taking legal advice. Surely they are responsible.
Yeah, I mean, if she goes on to that link from my website or direct to Street Repairs and that, .co.uk, she can actually look for advice. It gives her advice about what she can do and the steps, and it does give advice on those. They hide behind the Highways Act because if they've got a proper inspection regime and they didn't know about it in advance, they've got an ultimate defence in law, what they call a Section 58 defence. However, when that legislation from 1980 was put in, we had local highways inspectors who went round and picked up defects before they'd become dangerous. So they could actually put those in for repair before we had the incidents we're getting now. That's now gone by the wayside because of funding and contracting out and outsourcing, so much so that they're reactive now to dangerous ones and not being proactive. And that's part of my campaign of getting proper investment, proactive. And also, you know, they should be transparent because I've had examples where councils have suddenly lost supposed reports. Well, that system that I said about is transparent. Everybody can see on Street Repairs exactly where they are. And it gives power to the people. And you can actually publish those reports online using social media. And surprise, surprise, more are getting repaired.
Well, that's good because Stuart Bentley from Harrogate says Swan Road in Harrogate in Yorkshire has a pothole so big, if your car went down it, you'd end up in Australia. I suppose now with most phones having a camera on, the thing to do, Mark, is to photograph them and send them straight to the local authority.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of the local authorities don't have the facility. You know, the nonsense now, as you said, smartphones and smoke technology. I mean, Street Repairs as an app, I mean, there's a link off my website, but you can download it from the App Store and on iPhones. And it is so easy and smart. I wanted to make it as easy as possible because people have got busy lives. They've got better things to do, report potholes. They are fed up with them. But this system's so smart that you don't have to worry. You could be anywhere in the country if it's a strategic road whether it's Highways Agency, the system does it for you. You can photograph it, you can attach the photograph, providing you've got memory in your phone. Sometimes if people don't clear their memory out, it don't attach that well. So like your computers, you'd always clear your cache regularly. But if you can attach that and you can send it, and they will then deal with it, send it to the authority. And the beauty is in that link, if you register with them with your email or mobile phone number, if the council then update that over the process, you'll get informed about that. But you can actually choose to put it on your social media page. We've had some tremendous success using that, where even an MP couldn't get a road done in Hertfordshire. And also, when I was on television last week, I had a report from a elderly disabled couple who their life was becoming a misery. They hadn't had sleep for about 3 months because the council hadn't done this pothole. The lorries during the night on this particular road going through this village are constant bang, 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 bang. They're at their tether. Fortunately, they contacted me after. I went up the next day, and surprise, surprise, after using the Cedrus Air system, posting it on their actual Twitter feeds and posting it all the way around and contacting our director, I got it done within 2 days.
Which is the worst part of our country for potholes?
I get asked that all the time. They've all got hot spots. I mean, Sheffield's particularly bad. Harlow in Essex, that's a nightmare in places. Absolute nightmare.
Really?
Colchester. There's a supporter of mine who's a very good photographer. He's taken some brilliant artistic shots. They should be on the wall rather than on a report. But he's been campaigning down there quite a bit. But horrendous in those places. Plymouth. They're across the country, really. I get reports widespread. What really does is if people do that report and post it on their page and tag in their local authority... Surprise, surprise, they seem to get more attention. Down in Sussex, I actually had them come back on Twitter within 15 minutes. 2 hours later, the actual repair was done, and the inspector, who probably was a good guy, because there are a lot of them around there who want to do a good job, actually posted a picture of the repair back on my Twitter feed. So, I mean, that's a brilliant result. And to be fair, some of those people in the council want to do the job. They haven't got the tools to do the job. 75% of this is about funding. 25% of it is about contract management, quality control, proper inspection regimes, and a really good national reporting system. And to be fair, Colin Mahoney, that I got hooked up with, has come up with Street Affairs, he's done that privately funded so far. And it's really just proving that, you know, government come up with systems that cost millions of pounds, don't deliver. This is a private person who's taken it on board, and I've given them as much advice as I can about the system. And he's proved it and doing it. It's getting used. It's growing all the time. And it's just so fast and smart for people. I can't rave enough about it because I just think it's the answer. It's something that I thought should be out there anyway.
Is this now your full-time job? Is this what you've devoted yourself to?
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, I took early retirement. I had a bit of ill health as well. For the last 20 months or so, it has been full-time. I mean, as I said, I'm a bit of a sod. I read all the back parliamentary papers. I like to have a good grounding because I don't want to go stick my head upon the parapet and not be able to answer them. Every time I raise questions with government, they waffle. I've done the detail back there. We should have got rid of this back in 2000. There was a 10-year plan by the then Labour minister. And at that time, it was £3.75 billion backlog of carriageway work in England and Wales. Now, that was never done. And now it's 12. So, you know, we all know if you don't maintain something at an early stage, it costs more in the long run. Well, government's, you know, trying to say, oh, we're going to spend £6 billion over the Parliament. Well, you know, with a declining asset now that's deteriorating at £1.5 billion a year, it doesn't take anyone with any intelligence to work out that we're going to end up with a bigger deficit. And if it rolled it forward and we don't invest, you know, people are going to suffer. There's going to be more injuries. It costs the economy that's not accounted for over £5 billion a year through the damage, delays and the like. So can we afford not to invest in our roads? The election's coming up. And it's time to push it. And National Pothole Day was an idea that I come up with Colin, and Colin said, well, we'll back it and push it. And to be fair to him, he puts his money where his mouth is in action. And I try to support it as much as I can and be a bit more of a mouthpiece because of this thing of Mr. Pothole. And, you know, it's going so well on social media. We really are pleased with about the support we're gaining across everybody. I've issued, under the Highways Act, they're very good at quoting it and defending claims like that, like you'll get from your people. But there's a thing in there called a Section 56, which is for failure to maintain a road with public money. Now, it's aimed at councils initially, but I've issued one online to David Cameron and asked people to retweet it, that says that we, the people, are fed up with them not maintaining our roads to a good, safe and reasonable standard, so that it actually gets into his inbox or Twitter feed, so that people give him a chance to actually see that, how they feel about it.
Just remind us, Mark, where they can find you. What is your website, your Twitter address, etc., etc.?
Well, mrputthole.co.uk, and my Twitter feed is at mrputthole.uk, and there's links, obviously, from my website and Facebook. There's a Mr. Pothole Facebook page as well.
Mr. Pothole, I thank you very much indeed, and now, when we have a problem with our roads, we know exactly where to come.
Thank you.
Bye. So, there we are. That was Mr. Pothole. Have you got any potholes or not?
Yeah, we do, and when we do have potholes, they don't really do a very good job at fixing them. They always have big lumps and bumps in. They just come along, tip the black stuff in, whack it down with a shovel and walk away. And it's like, well, the potholes...
That's no good, you see. That's the reason our roads are so terrible in this country. And he's right. You go across to France and the roads are great. And yeah. Okay, you have to pay to drive on some of them, but hang on, we pay a car tax over here quite often, fairly extortionate, don't we? And most of that money seems never to see the light of day as far as repairing our roads is concerned.
Utility companies, I blame, digging up the roads all the time and filling them back again, oddly.
Yeah. Well, listen, get on to Mr. Pothole if you've got a problem. Let him help you sort it out.
Will do.
There are people out there who can help. Now, I've been getting a lot of emails. If you want to email me, James... Hang on, James... I'm a bugger for forgetting things. JamesWorldRadio@gmail.com. Now, if you want to get in touch, JamesWorldRadio@gmail.com. Plus, follow me on Twitter, my own Twitter site, at the James Whale. And the James Whale Radio Show has its own Twitter site now, doesn't it?
James Whale Show, yes.
James Whale Show, right? So there are a few imposters out there, but my own Twitter site is The James Whale, where you get an insight to my real life. And lots of pictures and stuff on there as well. If you want to get in touch, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. That will find me. Now, lots of people seem to be absolutely obsessed, although apparently the ratings aren't that good, with Celebrity Big Brother. Now, I haven't watched it because those sort of things are just like the Jeremy Kyle show. I don't need those things in my life. But I suppose, Robbo, you've been watching it.
I have been watching most of them, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, it's just a bunch of people who most of us have never heard of. Who just go in there and behave bad. I mean, I know Ken Morley because he was in Coronation Street.
Yes.
And now he seemed, and you know, it seems like he was the fall guy, quite frankly. He was, I don't know, he was put in there. And what did he do that upset people?
He made some sort of racist comments.
Right. Well, is he racist? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I read a bit in the paper where he and Alexandra O'Neill... What on earth? Alexandra O'Neill is one of the best soul singers ever. I love Alexandra O'Neill's voice. He's amazing. And he's in there. Why is he in there? Anyway, I don't know. But so this bloke, Ken Morley, has been booted out, and that's the most publicity I've seen about the show so far.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the Katie Hopkins show, really.
Yeah, who's she?
She's some woman that always has a rant about...
Oh, people. Yeah, well, yeah, I think I've done papers on Sky with her, but she's... hang on, I think she's the one who's really nice, and then she gets in front of a camera or a microphone and puts on this act.
Mm.
And that, says outrageous things that she doesn't even agree with.
Yeah, it seems that way, yeah, but that's the reason why a lot of people have tuned in, which is why I'm...
Is she popular?
In. She's coming across very well. That says quite a lot.
Is she?
Yeah.
All right. Well, in what way? You mean, as I say, I've got better things to do than watch a bunch of people sitting around in a house that they can't get out of.
I totally agree with you. I'm not a big celebrity Big Brother fan, but I was watching it because of Katie Hopkins. I thought, this is going to be explosive TV. Mm. Let's see what she says this time. And she's the most sane person in the house.
Well, yeah, that's because she's probably decided, I'm not going to do my act. I'm just going to be me. And I don't know. As I say, I haven't seen it. But I can't... Listen, if... Go into... Why don't they put cameras in prisons and just let's eavesdrop on prisoners? Wouldn't it be the same sort of thing?
That's... Yes, very similar. I'll tell you what my new guilty pleasure is. I love watching hardcore porn on late-night TV.
Oh, don't be disgusting. There are children listening, probably. I mean, honestly, that is appalling. You should try and get some sort of, I don't know, cure for that. I mean, OK, it's you know, in certain cases, that can make you go blind, I've heard.
It's brilliant. I just can't stop watching it.
Well, yeah, I know, but you know, you want to. Porn is quite addictive. You've got to be very careful.
Not porn, porn, porn.
You said porn, hardcore porn. Did you know you just said hardcore porn? Didn't
no,
you?
No, as in porn shops.
In porn, what you sort of adult shops?
No, porn shops. You know where you take your jewellery in and get it pawned.
Oh, what they've made television programmes about that?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I was missing it so much because it wasn't on the other night. I did a search on the internet for hardcore porn. Bad mistake. Bad mistake.
Well, you'll have to just send me the link of this and I'll have a look.
I've had to delete my history.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I am not surprised. But still, there we are. I'm just looking out my window. Is that somebody coming down the path? No, they're going next door. That's okay. What were we talking about? Oh, Big Brother. So, yeah, everybody... I've not met that many people who are watching it, so it can't be that, but it just seems there are a few people on Facebook who are obsessed with it.
A lot of people watch it and say they don't.
Well, judging by the figures, I don't think that many people do watch it, do they?
Well, I watch it on Sky Plus, so I'm able to fast-forward quite a lot.
Well, yeah, of course, there are lots of people who now listen to the radio and watch television different ways, and quite often their watching and listening doesn't actually reflect on the ratings.
That's right. I don't think when you record something, I don't think it gets noted.
Oh, well, that's... isn't it, really? So, never mind. If anybody stops any of you in the street, just say, oh, yeah, always the James Whale Show. Don't have to be too explicit where it is. Just say, you know, oh, always the James Whale Show.
Yeah.
A quick shout out for all our listeners around the world. America, we're doing very well on American radio stations.
Yes.
At the moment.
Yes.
Not to mention Middle East. I'm still surprised at that, but there we are. Got a few people in Australia. Loads of people. And Spain and France is doing well.
Spain, France, Portugal, Russia a few times, yeah.
Are we on Russia? I used to do The Voice of Russia, so maybe we picked up a few there. If you want to get in touch and find out how you can get the show on your radio station as well, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com is the way to go. Now, let's have tech talk, because lots of people love that. Robbo, of course, is well in to his tech. So here's a little snippet of what is happening in the techie world this week.
I've been testing out a thing called Audio Vibe.
Oh, really? Is that some sort of sex toy?
No. Oh, I suppose you could. You could. Yeah. Anyway, you basically plug it into your phone or your MP3 player, and it's a little gadget with a sticky back on it, and whatever you attach it to, like a window or a cardboard box, it turns that item into a speaker.
A window or cardboard box? How would a window become a speaker? It would be glass.
Because the thing vibrates, and it sends the vibrations through whatever it's attached to, so it turns that into the speaker.
Oh, so if you wanted to annoy your neighbours, you'd stick it on your windows, which are angled towards their house. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and the whole street would hear you.
Yeah. Or if you wanted to have your music playing out in the garden on a nice summer's day, you could use it for that.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the size of, like, a matchbox. So you could attach this thing the size of a matchbox to a window and you'd have a really, really massive speaker. It's really loud.
So what about... Could we stick one on the roof of the car?
Yeah.
And then turn the car when we're driving around just to, you know, like they used to have the beatboxes in the good old days. You could cruise around playing your music really loud.
That's right. And different objects give you different bass and treble effects.
Oh, that'd be fascinating, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you what is freaky, though. Attaching it to your skull.
Oh, have you done that?
Yeah, your whole head vibrates. It's really weird.
And have you tried any other parts of your body?
Saying nothing.
Hmm, interesting. I'd like to have a listen to that. See if we can't, we could do a little video of it, couldn't we?
Why don't we send one to Tony Fisher?
Yeah, let's do that. Tony Fisher would love it.
Hmm.
Yeah, all right, we'll send one to Tony Fisher and get him to road test it. Yeah, no, I like that. Right, I'll tell you what, another thing that's really entertaining me at the moment, what's the lowest fuel price you've ever seen? Caroline Fox said, £1.02 in Chelmsford.
Ooh, that's cheap.
Well, Caroline Fox, I'm in Chelmsford very often. Where is this filling station? Because I have not found it that cheap. Annie says, free lorry driver was asleep. Karen Jane Beach from Hartlepool says, Asda in Hartlepool, £1.03. Do you know, the cheapest I've found it yet is about £1.04, £1.05 for unleaded and about £1.10 for diesel. John says, I've just filled my Range Rover. It usually costs me £60. It's a very small Range Rover you've got. But with a discount, my wife has at Tesco's. She got it for £49. Result. I'd love to know what sort of size Range Rover. £60. That's quite cheap, isn't it, to fill a Range Rover?
Yeah.
I would have thought. Never mind, Ed. John. Ed Taylor says, Asda in Bournemouth, £1.02. I haven't been to an Asda, that's the problem. An Asda near me, but it doesn't have a filling station. Cy Clark is in Hooley in Surrey, and he says £1.04. And Ian Laverick, diesel for €1 in Luxembourg.
It's about 80p, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, £1.03 around here in Wales.
£1.03?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you know, I think my filling station down the end of the road here is about £1.06. I've seen it for £1.04.
Supermarkets, Tesco and Asda fighting against each other. That's why all these prices are so low.
Well, no, the prices are going low because there's not the demand for the fuel that there was. And the Americans have almost stopped now because they've got so much fuel coming from fracking that they're almost self-sufficient in fuel, which is a good argument there for us to start fracking. You know, let's get out and frack. Everybody frack.
Is that a song?
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Anyway, I think that's about it, really, for this week, isn't it?
Yeah. Have we got any questions from people this week?
Oh, we have. Should we finish on questions?
Yeah,
you've got the questions. You ask me, and we'll do the same. I like doing this, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Right. Okay. Go on.
Ian says, is Alan Partridge based on you?
I don't think so, although the man who plays Alan Partridge, whose name is...
Steve Coogan
was given his first ever TV exposure on my television show in the 90s. In fact, if you Googled James Whale Bimbo, which is terribly old-fashioned, I'm almost ashamed of it now, and you look at the it was a video of bits of the TV programme made up for the song we did called Bimbo in the days. It was satirical in the days. And you will see Steve Coogan in one of his first appearances on television there. Don't blink, you'll miss it.
Yes, he's only on for a split second.
Yeah. That's on our website, isn't it, as well?
It is on our website, yes.
JamesWorldRadio.co.uk. No, I don't think it is based on me, to be honest.
No.
Apparently there's a broadcaster on BBC Radio Norfolk, I think, called Wally Webb. And I think he says it's based on him.
Oh, there we go.
All right.
Manon Floyd Williams, why do people tell their kids their tongue will go black if they lie?
Because they tell them all sorts of things. It's like they'll burn in hell or they'll just ridiculous things that we still have that part of our brain that goes back to the dark ages, doesn't it? I haven't heard anybody telling their children that they'll get a black tongue if they lie, but you never know. You never know. Ridiculous thing to tell a child.
Mark Phillips, do you dress left or right?
Well, that's for me to know and for you never to find out.
Tom, what is the square root of -1?
-1.
Is it?
Of course it is.
Did you just Google that?
No.
Okay. Jackie Gunt says, when can I get out of hospital? She's been in hospital for ages.
Oh, Jackie, I hope it's not going to be too long. or a long. I hope you're out before long.
Last one, Annie Humphreys. Whose cruel idea was it to put an S in the word lift?
I don't know, but it was cruel. You're absolutely right.
That's like the old dyslexic argument. Who came up the spelling for that?
Excellent. If you've got questions, email them to us. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. And we'll do some more on the programme next week. In the meantime, if this is your first time, then check out. There's 60-odd hours of these shows with some interesting guests, some not-so-interesting guests. But it'll pass a couple of hours. If you are driving somewhere, you can download us and take it with you, can't you?
Yeah, just get us on iTunes if need be.
Yeah, if you want to get it on iTunes, get it on iTunes. We don't make any money out of that, do we?
No, we don't make any money.
No. I think we should start appealing. Send us £5 towards the continuation of the James Whale Radio Show online and on a radio station near you. Right, say goodbye, I'm going.
Goodbye, I'm going.
See you later.
To the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.